Well, praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I am excited to declare the word of the Lord to you today. And wherever you are, wherever you're listening, whatever device you're on, I am praying that the Spirit of the living God will speak to you a word in season that will absolutely revolutionize and bless your life. We have a lot to be thankful for and to be grateful for. And as we're coming into our holiday season in a year that is unprecedented, in a year that is filled with so much change, we ought to be thankful and grateful that oxygen is still flowing through our bodies, that we are still here in the earth, that God still has his hand upon us. So we are grateful today to preach the gospel, to declare the goodness of the Lord, and to let you know that his mercy endures forever. We also want to pray for our country as we are electing a new president. We're so thankful and grateful to have the responsibility to lift up those who are in office. And so I would encourage you to lift up a prayer for President-elect Biden and Vice President Harris, and let's stand together so that our country can heal from so much division, from so much turmoil that it has had to endure for these last few years. The word of the Lord is powerful. The Bible describes it as such. It is quickening. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the sole power to separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. And I believe the word of the Lord is going to do that today. Before we jump into the word of God, I want to give a quick announcement concerning a community outreach on November the 21st. We're going to be back out in the community on November 21st. Pull up, pop your trunk, and let us fill it up. We're going to be in Howard County, as we were before, serving that community who is in dire need as well. And this will be our last one of the year. So if you are in need or you know someone in need, go to our website or go to my social media at Pastor Michael Phillips, and all of the information is there for you. The directions and the time, where we're going to be, that's at Pastor Michael Phillips on Instagram or Facebook, or go to Kingdom Life Church as well. And the information will be there too. If you would like to volunteer for this event, it is not too late for you to volunteer. You can text HELP KLC to 77222, HELP KLC to 77222, and you can sign up to volunteer for this tremendous event right in time for the holidays when people might be in dire need. Let's go ahead and meet some of those needs and serve and be a blessing to our neighbors. And we would love to see you, and we would love to see you serve, and we would love to have you come if you are in need and let us fill up your trunk. We're glad to do it. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to give and to sow into your life and be a blessing to you and your family. I want to take you to the word of the Lord. I want to take you to Psalms, the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'm excited about this text. I'm kind of geeked about this text because it's something that often we overlook, I think, I don't know, I have, when we're reading scripture and we're familiar with the terminology and we're familiar with the words and we quote. How many times have you quoted, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. But what we have to understand that this scripture is written by a man who has a memory of going through some atrocities and some difficulties and some travesties in his life. And through that, he wrote those words, I will bless the Lord at all times. It sounds easy when things are good, but I'm sure that it's not easy when things are bad. And so we're going to jump into this text, and I want to teach it for a little bit, if that's all right with you. I just want to teach this just for a little bit so that we can distill some principles that's going to be a blessing to your life. And I'm trying not to get so excited that I jump up out of this chair that they propped it up for me and get to preaching and the shouting, because that's how juicy the scripture is. So Psalms 34, let's read this. And I only want to read the first three verses. And the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. And verse 3 is where I want us to focus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yeah. For the next few moments we have together, I want to preach to you from the subject title, Magnified. Magnified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you right now for who you are and for what you represent. You are God, and beside you, there is none other. You have the whole world in your hands. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega, the beginning end. You have the power, the capacity to create ex nihilo out of nothing. You don't even need anything to create something. That's how awesome you are. And we come to you this day with that understanding of your omnipotence and your omniscience and your omnipresence. We come with the understanding that there is nothing too hard for you. We come with the understanding that you sent your word to heal us, Father. And so whatever we're suffering from, whatever our ailment, whatever our plight, whatever our predicament, this word has healing power in it. There is still a balm in Gilead. So Father, as we lift up this word, let it touch our hearts and our hearts be open to receive it. Anoint our ears to be able to hear it when it comes. Let it come with that quickening power to separate our soul from our spirit so that we can declare it is well with our soul. Father, as this word comes, let it cause us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, because we want to look like him, talk like him, and walk like him. We thank you for what this word is going to do in our lives, and we give you praise in advance for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, wherever you are, go ahead and say amen. This is a powerful text, and I know that when you read the psalm, you're reading it from the standpoint, perhaps of prayer or from worship or from praise. And the opening statement of this psalm in the 34th chapter is really a reflection of a moment. It is a reflection of a moment from a man who was not ready for a moment that was coming into his life. So the Bible says that as David writes these words, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. It's the all times that gets me. There's a man by the name of Thomas Carlyle. He is a 19th century a Scottish writer. And he wrote these words that would help us to make sense of David's statement. I will bless the Lord at all times. It was Mr. Carlyle who was able to hypothesize, if you will, the words of another poet, of another writer. And he says that people who are adults sometimes are not strong enough to exalt in monotony. Yeah, monotony, the everyday rudiments of life. Taking your kid to the store, going to the store to buy a toilet paper or to buy paper towels or to buy Clorox or to buy some of the things you need for your house to be clean or for you to be clean. Just monotonous, something that you would normally just take for granted. Going to the store to get eggs or to get milk or sugar or whatever items you need to do whatever you need to do. Monotonous. Going to the cleaners, taking your child to Little League, going to church on a Sunday morning and then going out to eat or to brunch or to tailgate or whatever it is you do and how you do your Sunday. Monotonous. He says that most people are not able to exalt in monotony. In other words, he's arguing that it is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun. And every evening, do it again to the moon. He argues that the repetition in nature may not be just a mere occurrence, but it could be a theatrical encore. Yeah. That the sun rising and setting every day might not be just a mere reoccurrence, something that is mundane, but it could be that it is an encore of God's goodness and God's greatness. Monotonous things that we take for granted, like the sun rising and the sun setting and seeing the moon and seeing the stars and going to the store and all the things that we experience during the day. It is often that we don't see God moving in those moments. We don't see the Lord moving in those moments. We don't see the Lord moving in the stars. It's a wonder to me why God would say to Abraham, come outside your tent and let me show you something. Let me show you what the stars look like, because that's how I'm going to make you as a nation. Let me try to get you to count the grains of sand. That's how many generations you're going to impact in your lifetime and what I'm going to pull out of you, Abraham. It's a wonder to me why he pulled him out of his tent. The reason he did so was because he wanted him to understand that it's in the monotony that I move, not just in the miraculous. That the mundane moments of life are filled with God-like events, even going to the grocery store. This year, you and I had to be grateful and thankful and really hopeful that we would never run out of toilet paper again, that we would never run out of paper towels, that eggs would be in the grocery store and milk would be in the grocery store and the food items that we need would be in the grocery store. I'm a Baltimore kid and I grew up on King Syrup. You don't know nothing about no King Syrup, but I grew up on King Syrup, and there was a crisis going on. Everybody was worried about toilet paper, but I was worried about King Syrup because I couldn't get none. I had to order it online and it was slow walking to my house. I don't eat syrup like that, but I had to have it in the house. My point is that it is the mundane things that we take for granted, like syrup and eggs and milk and toilet paper and paper towels, that could all of a sudden not be available to you, that makes you appreciate that all the more. Going to church on a Sunday morning that many of us took for granted, and if we didn't feel like it, we just didn't go. But now that it's not in your life anymore the way it used to be, and you can't fellowship, there's a longing there, at least it is for me and for so many other people. There's a longing there to want to fellowship again and come together and gather and to hear the organ blaring and to hear the anointed singers singing and to fellowship and experience the goodness of God and the glory of God in the way that we've grown accustomed to doing it. But perhaps you weren't able to exalt in the monotony. Perhaps the monotony got the best of you. And so when it came time to bless the Lord at all times, that all times turned into sometimes. When you felt like it, when it was going good, when things went your way, But that's not what we're reading here. We're reading about somebody who figured out how to bless the Lord at all times. When all hell was breaking loose in his life, he's reflecting on this moment and writing back to us from the benefit of hindsight. You can't write something that says, I will bless the Lord at all times, unless you have learned how to bless him at all times. And if this year is teaching us anything, it is teaching us how to bless the Lord at all times, which means you have to learn how to exalt him in the monotony. There's nothing that you should be taking for granted in your life right now. If you got a roof over your head, you should bless him. If you got clothes on your back, you should bless them. If you got food in your cupboard, you should bless them. If you got a car to drive, you should bless them. If you got a bus pass, boo, you should bless them. If you can hop in an Uber, you should bless them. If you got a face mask, if you have been able to get through the COVID crisis, you should bless them. If you have been able to get through the economic crisis, you should bless them. If you're still here and the crisis has hit your life and you're going through some ordeals or some atrocities, you should still bless them. Because what David is suggesting to us is that we have the capacity to exalt him in the monotony and say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. That's a bold statement coming from David. The reason it's a bold statement coming from David is because David is not just speaking to us out of a wish list. He's not speaking to us out of the world in which he would like it to be. He is speaking to us from his own personal experience of going through a trauma that almost took him out. Almost took him out. You remember David, he was the eighth son of Jesse, and it was Samuel who came to anoint him to be king over all of Israel after Saul forfeited, if you will, his position on the throne in God's eyes. And God sent Samuel to Jesse's house to find the next king. And when he got there, God had to remind Samuel that the Lord looks at the heart instead of the outward appearance, that God's criteria for who he wants to use is quite different than mankind's criteria. And so he sends Samuel to Jesse's house, and Samuel has his marching orders. And when Samuel comes, he comes and he has a ram's horn to anoint the next king with oil. Yeah. When Saul was anointed king, Saul was anointed king not with a ram's horn. The oil that was poured on his head was pulled out of a limited capacity. But that ram's horn that Samuel had to anoint David was indicative of a perpetual anointing, that God was about to place something on David that would last generations. And when he gets to Jesse's house, there's nobody there that fits the bill. They forget about him. They forget about David. They don't even bring him up to the front to be counted for as a candidate for this anointing to be king. And Samuel looks at all of Jesse's kids and says, is there another? Is there somebody else? And Jesse is reminded, oh, my youngest, my eighth child, but you don't want him. That's not the one that you want. That's not the one that you want to use. That's not the one that has it. He likes sheep, and he's out there playing his lyre and his harp. He's different. You don't want him. And Samuel says, let me see the boy. And when he comes, he knows he's the one, and he anoints him with that oil to be king over all of Israel. And it took time. It took time. It took time for David to step into his destiny. And this is the reason why it's hard for us to exalt in the monotonous, because it takes time for the moment to meet the man. It takes time for you to mature and to develop so that when the moment comes in your life, you'll learn how to magnify the Lord. And so, as the story goes, we understand that David has to go through a succession of events. And there was a mundane event, the monotonous, that he's carrying lunch to his brothers. And his father says, take this lunch to your brothers. And I want you to see if it's okay with them, if they're all right. They're on the front side of the battle and they're going to war with the Philistines. I need you to go down, take lunch to them. And David, through the monotonous journey of service, taking lunch to his brothers, didn't know that that was going to be a day that would change the trajectory of his life. Can I just parenthetically insert this into your spirit while you're listening to me bring this story back up for your remembrance so I can get to my point, that there are some moments in your life that you looked at as mundane, but they were moments that God was setting up to change the trajectory of your life. David was just being obedient, taking lunch down to his brothers, and he didn't know that there was a giant on the other side that he was going to face that day. Lunch got him to the giant that he would eventually slay. Taking lunch down the road to his brothers, now all of a sudden, is going to change his life. The mundane, even right now, as you're looking at me, you might feel like you're not moving towards your destiny. You might feel like you're not going anywhere. You might feel like you'll never get to your moment. I came to tell you that it's in the monotony. It's in the mundane events that is leading you to where God wants you to be, to the moment that's going to change your trajectory. I know it feels like that you're sitting still right now, your vision sitting still right now, dreams on hold, pandemic got everything shut down, but I'm here to tell you that is not true. If you just look at it scientifically, I could prove it to you. You're not even sitting still scientifically right now. The earth is spinning on this axis at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. Well, you're moving right now and you don't even know it. You don't even feel it. And if that is true in the natural, what is true in the spiritual? You're moving towards your moment right now. And in moving towards your moment, the valuable lesson that you have to learn first is how to bless the Lord at all times. David is teaching us how to do that through the hindsight of the memory of his maturation to become king. And as he becomes king, later on down the road, before that happens, he has to experience some things that will bring him to the place of saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. And so when we read that in Psalms 34, we read it monotonously, there's no context. So let me put context to that particular text and let you know that David is speaking out of history, out of memory. He's speaking out of a moment that he experienced in his life that was difficult and hard, because when he took lunch to his brothers, his entire trajectory changed. We know the story. He takes his slingshot and he kills the giant and slays the giant. And as he slays the giant, his whole life changes. He's elevated and people are singing his praises. And as people are singing his praises, he goes to work for Saul. And he becomes Saul's somewhat armor bearer. He would play for Saul, if you will, and soothe all of the difficult things that he was going through until Saul started trying to kill him. Yeah. Because there's a strange grace that comes with growth. There's a strange grief that comes with growth, because grief often precedes growth. That before you can step into your moment, there are some miserable things that you have to endure and go through. And I'm not suggesting to you that God is making all the miserable things happen. What I'm saying is that life will just teach you that in order to mature sometimes, in order to grow, there's inevitably some pain that is involved. No pain, no gain. And here we see right in the text, he's teaching us out of the memory of his life that I will bless the Lord at all times. It is not a suggestion. It is a declarative statement over his own mind. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Out of the memory of his misery, he is saying to us, no, I will, not I want to, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will do it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. My soul is involved in this process. My mind, my will, and my emotions are getting in order so that I learn that while I'm waiting for my moment, I'll learn that I can command my soul to make her boast in the Lord, because it's the only way I'm going to make it through this monotony. It's the only way I'm going to make it through the moments that feel like I'm not moving towards where God said I'm supposed to be. And so when you read 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter, you get a history lesson on what David is talking about. David is now on the run. And so he's writing from us from the memory of being on the run when he's been chosen and anointed for the assignment to be king. But he is now on the run from the very thing that God said he's supposed to have, because the person that's occupying his spot is trying to kill him. And he's on the run from Saul, so much so that he goes to the arch enemy of Israel to try to find a place to hide. You know, you got to be in a bad spot to hide in the camp of your enemy. This is after he killed the champion of their enemy, the Philistines. He killed Goliath. He killed their champion. And David is hiding in their camp. He's hiding in the courts of their king, King Achish. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And he's hiding in the courts of the king. And he's afraid of Saul. He's afraid of the Philistines. And he doesn't know who is on his side. And so he decides to plead insanity because the monotony is getting to him. Am I talking right to somebody? The monotony of waiting for what God said is supposed to happen in my life, and the monotony of people keep telling me they see the anointing of God on my life, but yet the reality of my life doesn't fit what folk are talking about. I'm not there yet, and I'm going through all these ordeals, and there's nobody there to mentor me or to help me, and no, there are no models there, because the person that's supposed to be mentoring me is trying to kill me and take me out. How in the world am I not losing my mind? And so David decides to act like he's losing his mind. Don't let the monotony make you lose your mind. Make the monotony put your soul in order. David decides to roll around on the floor in front of the king of the Philistines and foam at the mouth for fear. Lord have mercy. That they would kill him. The king said, get this crazy man out of my sight. Get this crazy man out of my sight. Wow. He says to David, he's basically saying to David, I thought you were more than this. Is this the man that killed Goliath? Get this man out of my sight. And in that moment, I believe David came to a place of maturation. I believe he came to the knowledge of understanding how to bless the Lord at all times. And God's praises continually being in his mouth. It is because he has learned what it tastes like and what it looked like not to have God's praise in your mouth. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He has learned what it looks like and what it feels like to be in a moment of utter anxiety and fear over losing your life when God has already spoken over your life. And to take the praise of God out of your mouth, what life would taste like. It's bitter. And David is showing us in real time in Psalms 34 that when I bless the Lord at all times and his praises will continually be in my mouth, it is because I will make my boast in the Lord. I'm not going to boast or brag on no position. I'm not going to boast and brag on no title. I'm not going to boast and brag on no accomplishments, because this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. I will make my boast in the Lord. My soul's going to do it. When everything looks like it's going bad and it's going wrong and it's not working out, my soul is going to make its boast in the Lord. And so here we see David saying, wait a second, I'm not standing still and I'm not dying. I'm going to make my boast in the Lord. And so he then says, as we get to where we're trying to go, magnify the Lord. Lord, have mercy with me. And let us exalt his name together. David is showing us that I can't magnify God by myself. He says, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnification is a funny thing, because when you magnify something, you feel like you're making it bigger, because the magnification process takes any object and amplifies the object. But the amplification of the object is an optical illusion. And this is why you have to look through the lens of the glass that has the capacity to magnify the object. Because when you look through the lens of the glass that has the capacity to magnify the object is still the same size. It has not changed in its size. So when you take the magnification off the object, you'll see that the object is the same. But when you put the magnification lens on the object appears bigger. The object is not bigger, it's closer. So when David says, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together, what he's saying is, let's not make God bigger, because you can't. But let's bring them closer. Whenever you're going through an ordeal, an atrocity, a hardship, you don't have to try to make God bigger, but you do have to learn how to bring them closer. And the way you bring them closer is to bring his presence into your problem. Instead of trying to get out of your problem, you have to bring God's presence into your problem. Because when you bring God's presence into your problem, you'll learn that your God is bigger than your problem. There was three Hebrew boys who had the chance to escape the fiery furnace that the king was going to throw them into. But they chose to bless the Lord at all times. And in so choosing, it got them thrown into a fiery furnace that the king turned up seven times hotter. What they discovered was that their God was bigger than their problem, so much so that he didn't deliver them from their problem, but he jumped in the problem with them. Lord, have mercy. And in jumping in the problem with them, the three Hebrew boys was not burned by the fire and didn't even smell like smoke. The Bible says the clothes wasn't even singed from the fire. There was no evidence that they were in it. And I came to tell somebody this morning that if you can get God and his presence into your problem, that when you come out of your problem, you won't even look like you were in a predicament, because that's how big your God is. You got to learn how to bring God closer. And to bring God closer, perhaps it's not the telescope that you need to look through. Maybe that's the wrong lens. Maybe you don't have to look through the telescope to see what God can do. Because the telescope is a reminder of how far away something is. But maybe you have to look through the microscope before you can magnify him. You see, I look towards the hills, the psalmist said, from which cometh my help. He wasn't looking to the hills for the help that he was asking for. He was looking to the hills because that's where the problems was. He was in the valley of the shadow of death, and around that valley were problems and issues and predicaments and circumstances. And he was assessing what was around him and then saying, where is the help going to come from? And the conclusion was, is that my help comes from the Lord, because there are no problems that are bigger than my God. It was the mystic A.W. Tozer who said, a solution to 10,000 problems in your life is how you view God. How big is God to you? And is he big enough that you can look at what he's doing in your life microscopically? We all want God to do the big things, but perhaps he's doing the big things in the small stuff in your life. Oh, glory to God. I'm about to jump up out this chair. Perhaps he is doing the big things through the small things in your life. Maybe he's doing miracles in the monotony, and you just don't see the miraculous because you haven't had the capability of looking microscopically. Microscopically, at a very small level, can you put what God is doing under the microscope instead of trying to put it through the telescope? If you put it under the microscope, oh, Lord have mercy, you would see that you are a walking, talking, breathing miracle. Oh, you would look at your life at the moments where it felt like you was about to lose your mind. This year, you ain't even got to look far. You can just look several months back where it looked like you was about to lose your mind. You had quarantine fatigue, and you was worried about COVID, and you was concerned about your family, and you was concerned about your job, and you was concerned about your future, and you were concerned about your kids, and you were concerned about this nation, and you were concerned about injustice, and you were concerned about racism, and you were concerned about all the things that we're plagued with and we're faced with. Just this year, put it under the microscope. And if you would put it under the microscope, you would see that you're a walking, talking, breathing miracle right here, right now. If I argue the facts scientifically, right now, if I put your body under the microscope, the fact that you're breathing is a miracle. There are trillions, not billions, not millions, but trillions of chemical reactions that are taking place in your body every day of every second. The oxygen that you're inhaling in your body, the energy that you're metabolizing right now, just keeping your balance is a miracle that you got equilibrium in your body. The fact that you can cut yourself and mend yourself while not even knowing how to heal yourself is a miracle, that you can cut yourself with a paper cut and don't even put a Band-Aid on it, and your skin will cover over and your body will heal itself by itself because you are a walking, talking, breathing miracle. And sometimes we forget to put our lives under the microscope. And it makes it hard for us to exalt God in the monotony because we're so busy trying to find him through the telescope. Where are you, God? Where are you? When are you going to move? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And we forget how to view him microscopically. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Keep looking under the microscope of your life. and seeing what God can do. I am not a biologist. I'm not a DNA expert, but it has been written, it has been known that if you took your personal genome sequence, the makeup of who you are, you took all of your DNA, and if it was written out, if somebody took all of who you are and tried to write out who you are on paper, it would be 3 billion words in your book. Lord, have mercy. In your book, it would be 3 billion words. The Bible, and let's take King James Version, which is wordy. The Bible has over 700,000 words in it, just shy of 800,000 words. The Bible has that. And your book, if it was written out, Lord, have mercy, would have 3 billion words in it. There's 66 books in the Bible, but you are walking, breathing, and talking miracle. You are a living epistle, as Paul said. That means you're the 67th book, boo. That when people see your life, they see God's hand written all over it. Look at your life microscopically. David understood this when he said in Psalms 139, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It's who you are. But we lose the miraculous in the monotony. We lose the miraculous in the monotony. The mundane events of life, the stuff we take for granted, the moments that we don't see God working and moving in our lives. And so we look for God to do all of these phenomenal things. But sometimes God does private miracles. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. Sometimes he does private miracles. When Elijah raised the Shunammite woman's son, the Bible says he shut the door. Nobody saw him laying out over the boy and breathing life into the boy. And the boy came to, and his mother held him in his hands. It was a private miracle. When Jesus walks and goes to Jairus' house to raise his daughter up, the Bible says he shuts the door and he puts everybody else out. It was a private miracle that was experienced publicly after the fact. Sometimes God does private things that is publicly pronounced later. And David is showing us in the scripture how magnification works. And my assignment today, and the reason why I'm sitting down teaching this to you, is so that you can see God moving miraculously in the monotony of your life. Because the moment is about to show up for you. And when the man meets the man has to be ready for the moment just as much as the moment has to be ready for the man. And this is what we're reading in Psalms 34. David is saying, I learned how to be ready for my moment. And I learned how to be ready for my moment through the monotonous events that I took for granted. When I felt like I was losing my mind, when people were giving me praise over my last accomplishment, and I was feeling myself. When I was playing my lyre for King Saul, and nobody knew who I was. When all of the praises and the accolades went away, and nobody knew that I was anointed to be king because that was private. That was private. And nobody saw what God did privately. I knew it. My father knew it. My brothers knew it. And they didn't even believe it. But I knew I was destined for something more. But before more could come, I had to endure the monotony. And in trying to endure the monotony, I almost lost my mind. But when I almost lost my mind, that's when I learned how to bless the Lord at all times. That's when I learned how to have his praise continually in my mouth. That's when I learned that I could command my soul to praise the Lord when I don't feel like it. When my life doesn't look like God is moving, I can command my soul to praise the Lord. I can command my soul that it is well. I can cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm learning how to magnify. And I learned the ultimate lesson that I can't magnify him alone. So David says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Sometimes God does private things so that they can be announced publicly. The first miracle of Jesus reminds us of this fact. Jesus is at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they run out of wine. And when they ran out of wine, nobody knew that they ran out of wine, but the hosts and the servants. Somehow the host informs Jesus' mother what the problem is. And Jesus' mother tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Before she ever even talks to Jesus. And when she talks to Jesus, Jesus says, my moment has not yet come. Lord, have mercy. My moment is not here. Woman, what have I to do with this? It's not my moment. He's the man for the moment, but the man is not ready for the moment, and the moment is not ready for the man. But there's a problem. There's a problem. And because there's a problem, the man, Jesus, steps out of his humanity and into his divinity, because he was all God, yet all man. Lord, have mercy. And he steps into the problem and he tells the servants to do a mundane thing. Fill these water pots with water. It's a mundane command. It's nothing miraculous about filling the water pots with water. And why would I want to fill these pots, these dirty pots that were used for the custom of cleaning when you enter into a home? Why would I want to fill these pots to use these pots? Why would I want to use something as monotonous as dirty water pots to produce a miracle? And here in this first miracle, we see it's a sign of how God moves. It's the penultimate miracle, because it's the first, not in order, but the first in terms of power, in terms of precedent. It's the first. It's how God does what he does. Huh, Lord. It is a foretaste of what he did. It is an aftertaste, I'm sorry, of what he did in Genesis 1 when God stepped into the problem and said, let there be light. So when Jesus steps into the problem and tells the servants to fill the water pots with water, nobody knows a miracle is going on except the servants. It's private. It's private. And before I start preaching this thing to you the way I want to do it, I'm here to tell you God is about to do something private in your life that's about to be announced publicly. And the Bible says that he tells the servants to fill the water pots with water. That was the only command. And they went and filled the water pots with water and they brought them back. And then he says, draw out now. Nobody saw I feel like preaching. Nobody saw how God turned the water into wine. He didn't stand up and said, everybody gather around. Watch what I'm about to do. Watch what's about to happen. That's not what went down. He didn't stand up and said, look, I want to show you something. He told the servants, draw out now. He told the servants, draw out now. Go ahead and take that mundane command that I just gave you. Just fill the water pots. Now draw out. It's like a widow that was in Zarephath that was about to make her last cake. And the mundane command to go make the man of God one. And it sustained her and her family through the entire famine. It's like the widow that was running out of oil. And the man of God said, go borrow a few vessels. Go borrow some vessels. Borrow not a few. And as the many vessels that she bore out, that she went and borrowed, God filled them up with oil as much to the capacity of what she went and borrowed. It was a mundane command. Can you exalt God in the monotony? Because it's the monotony that's bringing you to the moment and that's bringing you to the place of maturation where you learn how to bless the Lord at all times. And when you get to the moment, you never get there by yourself. You get there because the miracle, the private thing that God does in your life gets to the place of public announcement. Nobody saw the pain. Nobody saw the hardship. Nobody saw the difficult nights. Nobody saw you walking the floors. Nobody saw you praying on your knees. Nobody saw you searching the scriptures. Nobody saw you trying to keep your mind in order. Nobody saw you going to therapy. Nobody saw you seeking help from all types of places. Nobody saw what you were going through. It was just you and the Lord. It was a private ordeal. But the miracle was that what you were going through privately did not kill you. It did not take you out. It did not destroy your life. You're still here now. And as you're still here now, there's about to be a public declaration of what God did privately in your life. You are about to magnify the Lord with somebody and exalt His name together, meaning you're going to find out that you wasn't the only person going through, that somebody else was going through also. But when they heard your story, that you almost lost your mind, and it was God that kept you, that you recalled to your mind so you had hope, that it was because of the Lord's mercies you were not consumed. And now you're helping somebody else understand that that same goodness and mercy is following them like it was following you. And the same God that brought you out is going to be the same God that brings them out. And I don't know who's next to you at the moment, and maybe there's nobody. Maybe it's just the cat, or it's just the dog, or maybe you're going to have to FaceTime somebody and say, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together, because I've been through some stuff and I want to show you how to bring them closer. Stop letting the problems of this world get your soul so out of order that you start looking at God through a telescope. Look for Him through the microscope. Go down to the small details of your life. Get down into the miserable moments and see God's hand working through it all. See Him working all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. See Him jumping in the fire with you. See Him making a way out of no way when you look like you came to a dead end, but you walked over on dry ground, and then He swallowed up your enemies that were pursuing you. See God working in the moments that feel mundane, and you will see the miraculous that you failed to record, like taking lunch that led you to a giant, yeah. Like just simple obedience, like praying for somebody else.
God turned the captivity of Job on a mundane thing. Lord have mercy. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Magnify the Lord with me. I'm going through, but I'm not going through alone. And when I found out I was going through, I realized it wasn't just because I had to go through it. No, somebody is going to find out who God is through what I just went through. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And my assignment this morning was simple, and I knew that this text was going to have me up and jumping, and so I decided to sit down. I sat down, and I hope I looked cool. I was trying to look cool sitting down. I was trying to act okay. But on the inside, my assignment today is to tell you that magnification, Lord have mercy, is about to move in your life. Oh, you didn't hear me. Magnification is about to move in your life. God is bringing your moment closer. You are about to step into your moment and step out of your misery at the same time. Who am I preaching to right now? God told me to tell you that the moment that you have been waiting for has been drawing closer to your life as you has been drawing closer to it. And as you went through everything that you went through, you had to learn the fundamental principle of how to bless him at all times and let his praise continually be in your mouth. You could have dropped your praise a long time ago, but all year long you were getting up saying, God, I'll bless your holy name. I'll exalt your holy name. I give you glory and I lift you up. You didn't have an organ. You didn't have a choir. You might have had a tambourine if you had one of those in your house, but you didn't have a tambourine. All you had was your hands and all you had was your voice, but you was giving God praise anyway. When they said that you were going to be furloughed, you said, God, I trust you and I lean not on my own understanding. When they told you you were fired, you said, God, I trust you. I know you know the way that I take, and when I'm tried, I shall come forth like gold. When they told you that your business had to shut down, you said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. I'm talking to somebody right now. Now you're about to step into the moment. The moment that's about to change everything. The moment that's about to change the trajectory of your life and the trajectory of your family. The moment that's about to move you into something that God has already destined. What you saw, what you envisioned, what you dreamed, what you've been trying to birth out. And that moment you're about to step into it. And God is saying that you are now ready for the moment. And the reason that you're ready for the moment is because you learned how to bless him at all times. And you learned how to command your soul. Now you're learning how to magnify the Lord. You're learning how to bring him closer. Not just for you, but for somebody else. Because it's the with me part in this text that's critical. You have to learn how to endure the monotony. You have to learn how to exalt in it, so that the monotony brings you to the moment. The everyday practice of your craft, your art, whatever it is that you do, the countless hours that you put in that nobody saw. And you kept working on it and you kept working on it and you kept dreaming about it and you kept researching and you kept taking action step after action step after action step. After action step, after action step. And it felt so monotonous. It felt like you were never going to move toward your moment. But God told me to tell you, your moment is moving toward you. And there comes a time in history where the man meets the moment. And the moment meets the man. And this is where we are. In the text, when David says, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, God, he learns it's not about me anymore. Let us exalt his name together. He learns, not by myself. I'm not working on this for me. I'm working on this so that God can move through me. There's an entire generation waiting on what God put on the inside of me. This entire generation waiting on what God put on the inside of you. The moment you have been waiting for is about to meet you. And when it meets you, pull God closer into the moment. Don't let the moment make you start viewing God through a telescopic lens. Don't put him at a distance just because you're busy now. Because the thing you've been waiting for done shown up. You need him more now than you ever have before. You're going to need him more now than you ever have before. We need God more now than we ever have before. We need his presence to heal our land. We need his peace to calm our anxieties. We need God. And is he being magnified in your life? Or is he being moved out of your life? Have you let the difficult moments cause you to move him out of your life? Have you let the madness of other individuals make you stop seeking him? David is learning. It ain't about nobody else. This thing is between me and God. And he's pulling on a moment that was a public spectacle in his life. That moment of him roaming on the floor and foaming at the mouth wasn't private. His enemies saw him doing that. The people that he would come to fight later on down the road saw him at his lowest moment, rolling around on the floor, foaming at the mouth. He didn't let that moment stop him from magnifying the Lord. You might be at your lowest point right now. You might be lost. You might be scared. You might be terrified. Yes, it seems like we might be moving forward. It seems like things might be getting better, but not for you. Because every time you take one step forward, it feels like you find yourself three steps backwards. And God told me to tell you, step out of your misery. Step out of your scarce mindset. Step out of the fear that it's never going to work out. Because the moment you'll be waiting for is on the other side of what you can magnify. And either you're going to magnify your misery or you're going to magnify your God. And you got to start bringing God closer into every aspect of your life. Magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Find somebody that you can magnify the Lord with. Get some people in your circle that's going to let you know how good he is. Find somebody who knows that the Lord cannot lie. And stop letting the madness of individuals cause you to be suspect about the goodness of God. Because a lot of people misrepresent him. But let your own life represent who God is. And if you know he's been good to you, and magnify him. Magnify him in your work. Magnify him in your mission. Magnify him in your home. Magnify him in your marriage. Magnify him on your job. Magnify him everywhere you go in everything that you do. And you'll find yourself in the moment you've been waiting for. Because the moment is waiting for the man just as much as the man is waiting for the moment. I want to pray with you to tell you you are coming into a time and a season of refreshing. Oh God, I feel the Lord. You're coming into a season of refreshing, a season of renewal and recovery. But if you do not break out of the misery of your mindset, you will mislabel this season and miss the opportunity that the moment presents. Trajectories are going to be changed in this season. Your life can be changed forever. Forever, that you never go back to being poor. You never go back to panic attacks. You never go back to struggling with anxiety. You never go back to depression. You never go back to hatred. And you never go back to anger. And you never go back to procrastination. And you never go back to the stuff that made you view God at a distance because it was so difficult. And I'm here to tell you that the moment is about to show up. The moment is about to show up. And you got to be ready for this moment. And so I pray that the Spirit of the living God would touch you right where you are. That God's Spirit would inundate you so that you would see that you have the power to step out of your misery and the power to step into a moment, because God wants to do a new thing, but he can't do it in an old wineskin. He can't do a new thing in an old construct. And so let the Spirit of the living God wash you fresh, wash you clean, saturate your mind, saturate your soul, saturate your spirit so that you're open to receive this new capacity to hold and contain what God wants to pour into your life. And it required that you come empty. It required that you had moments of embarrassment and moments of uncertainty and moments where you felt like it was never going to happen, so that you would be empty. Pride can't step into this moment. Only humility can. Only a grateful and a thankful heart. Yeah. Arrogance cannot step into this moment. Only people who understand that it takes a contrite heart. It's clean, washed by the water of the word, washed in his blood. I pray that God's Spirit saturates you today and that you step out of whatever miserable mindset, miserable moment, miserable experience that you've carried around for far too long. And that you step into the magnitude of this moment, because you understand how big your God is. He's bigger than any problem that you'll ever face. He is bigger than the problem that you're going through right now. And I pray God's peace over your life, that it will surpass all of your understanding, transcendent, and that it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, because you're going to need the capacity of your mind for this moment. So I declare it is well with your soul. It is well with your soul. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray this word encouraged you. I pray it blessed you. I pray it built you up. Step out of your misery and into your moment. Because the moment is waiting for the man just as much as the man is waiting for the moment. God is moving in your life. Though it feels like you're standing still, he is still moving. I want to encourage you to sow a seed into this ministry. We're doing so much, reaching out to so many. One of the things I want to impact in this year coming up in 2021 is education. Your seed of $50 is going to go towards a pilot program that I'm putting together to help invigorate and inspire young people to become entrepreneurs and to learn about financial literacy. I cannot wait to roll this program out, but I need a little bit of help. And if you would consider sowing $50 toward that cause, I would greatly appreciate it. If you are tithed to this ministry, you know we're good ground. So sow your tithe, give your offering, but would you also consider an addition of $50 to whatever you're giving so that we can impact generations to come? If you want to do that, you can text your gift, give KLC to 73256. You can also go to our website, click on the give button. You can also download our church app and give on that platform as well. However you want to do it as unto the Lord. If you want to mail in your offering, you can mail it right here, 125 North Hilton Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21229. Attention, Kingdom Life Church. Thank God for your gift. Thank God for your sacrifice. We know that the Lord is going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Tell a friend about what we're doing here. Let them know about this ministry. Follow us on our social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram, at the Kingdom Life Church or at Pastor Michael Phillips. Follow my lovely wife at Dr. Anita Phillips. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and connect with you wherever you are. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May he give you peace. May his angels surround the entirety of your life. And may his precious blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time. God bless.